Welcome to another edition of the iPhone Photo Show. This is Scott Bourne, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Jefferson Graham. And today we're going to talk about the iPhone 14. Was the hype worth it? Was the hoopla worth it? Was the Apple reality distortion field in full force? Or was it there? I mean, were the goods delivered? There's only one guy in this call that knows for sure, because he's the only one of us that actually owns an iPhone 14, and that's Jefferson Graham.
Hi. Yes, distortion field was in full force this year. The 14, which I've been using every day for a full week, is the best iPhone that Apple's ever come out with, the 14 Pro Max, which is the one model I'm using. But if you look at the features for the camera that they're touting on the website, it's kind of hard. This is a tough one, because this year they hyped a little bit too much. Some of the features basically are just not there. And we can go down them one by one. I know, Scott, you're happy not to have one. There are a lot of people who are happy to have it. It is a great phone. It's just the camera is not a healthy leap ahead, as they refer to the watch as a healthy leap ahead. Let's start off with, it's better in low light. Well, you know, I did photos back to back on the 13 and the 14, and I could not tell the difference. And I shot at 5 in the morning. I shot at 7 in the morning. I shot in midday. You could not see the difference, and that was distressing. Let me talk about the feature I like the most, because Scott will laugh at this, and I didn't talk about this on the other episodes. So there's still three lenses: ultra wide, wide, and so-called telephoto, which is really a portrait lens. It's known as 0.5, 1x, and 3x. Well, this year they added a 2x lens, even though there's no lens to be there for it, right? They're using what it's basically digital zoom, though they say it's not digital zoom. They say they're taking the 48 megapixel sensor and carving out a basically 50 millimeter, which is actually 48 millimeter, viewpoint. So before Scott tells you why that's a crock, let me just say I really like it, because I do 24 to 70. That is my camera lens. And I shoot at 24, and I shoot at 35, and I shoot at 50, and I shoot at 70. So on the iPhone, I'm shooting at 24 or 77. And there is an in-between. There are many times that you want the middle shot. Sometimes the 77 is just too close. So the 2X has come in handy. Okay, Scott, it's all yours.
Open up Photoshop. Import your photo, press C for crop, and there's your 2X. You're just cropping, folks. Now, here's the advantage of being able to do it in camera. Some people, it helps them to get a visual reference to what it will look like while they're in the field. That's legit, and I get that. Don't like them calling it a 2x telephoto, because it really isn't. All you're doing is cropping, and I'm disappointed. And here's the thing. When I owned the iPhone 11, I thought that was a great camera. The iPhone 12 came out. I bought it and then given it to my assistant. I'm like, because the 11 was fine for me. I had the 11 Pro. I liked it. When the 13 was announced, I didn't even plan to upgrade to that, because I was happy with what I was getting out of the 11. Now, what happened, though, was they had a really big sysboom-bah feature, ProRes, Apple ProRes for video. That's what got me to upgrade. I got the 13 Pro, got the massive storage, love it. It's an amazing piece of technology. It is my primary video camera now, and don't intend to change that. There was, again, for me, like the 11 to 12, the 14 didn't have a sysboom-bah feature. It was all marketing. The phrase up to was used, I think, 14 times during the presentation. Or things like, it's the best iPhone we've ever made. Well, okay, what if the previous ones were crap? What does that mean? It bothers me that they won't be more transparent. I think they're a big company. They're the most successful company in the world. They can be transparent, and people would just, you know, want to know the truth, what's going on. So there was a lot of hype, but really there was, for me as a photographer, I'm disappointed. I don't want 48 megapixels on a slightly larger sensor, because I don't even want 48 megapixels on my full frame sensor in my Sony camera. I don't even want 48 megapixels there, because math is math is math is math is math. And pixel binning and all the cool things they do in the background will end up making lots of people happy. 90% of the people, this will be a cool thing. But for me as a serious photographer, I like to shoot serious raw. And when you look at the bare sensor and you look at the 48 megapixels, it's crap.
The main camera features a bigger sensor and larger aperture that lets in 49% more light. That's what Apple says. It lets in more light. I didn't see it. Again, back-to-back photos, can't really tell the difference. All right. The 2X, maybe it could do the same thing in Photoshop and crop, but I prefer to get it done on the phone. And I think a lot of people like to do that. It's kind of fun. I think that Scott would even enjoy it if we had the phone in his hand. Who knows?
I have played with
Oh, you've tried it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it makes sense. You know, it's the same reason why I liked looking through a prism on my old Hasselblad, which was square, because I was shooting square format. And for compositional purposes, it helps to see it in camera at the moment. So I get that part. It's just, it's not really a 2X telephoto.
Right. It's computational photography that we've come to know and love from Apple land. What I did see a difference between the 12 and the 14. Did see a difference. So my recommendation to anybody who has a 12, an 11, a 10, an 8 would be definitely get the new one. If you have the 13, there's no reason to get the new one for the camera. There might be a reason to get it if you like the always-on display, which is really cool. That's the feature where every time you pick up the phone, it's not dark anymore. You actually see some of your photos. It's nice. Whether you want to spend $1,100 and up for that is another question. I like it.
I would turn it off.
You would turn it off, right?
I would turn it off because I can't stand it on my Apple Watch.
Why not?
Because like I'm trying to sleep, and there's this bright thing in the room. You know, it's just I'm not a fan of it. It uses battery life. I get that some people like it, or elsewise Apple wouldn't have done it. They couldn't have come up with it on their own. So. To me, it's not a feature. There's a big article on Apple Insider on how to turn it off. So I'm not the only one that wants to turn it off. That's for me, it's not a big deal. Now, people do talk about it being faster. Those are people who had an 11 or a 12, in my opinion, because I don't see how anybody who had a 13 can notice how much faster it is, because my 13 is already so freaking fast. I can't imagine it being any faster. And they say the screen's better. I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And they say that it has longer battery life. My 13 lasts all day, and I'm using it all day. So how much more battery life than do I need? Because I'm going to charge it overnight. None of those things are important to me, but they may be to someone else. And if you bought the phone and you love it, I'm glad for you. And I'm just, to me, this was, you know, a letdown. Especially because I know what's out there on the competition. Look at the Sony Xperia Pro. There's a micro SD card slot. There's a headphone jack. There's, you know, 4K full frame everything, no matter what frame rate. There's it's cheaper. Now runs Android, which blows, so I would never want to have one. But as far as the camera goes, it has an optical zoom. I mean, as in, you know, when you buy a real camera with a real zoom lens and it has floating elements, it has one of those. It doesn't have a gimmicky thing. And it has a 1.1 inch sensor, which is at least twice the size of Apple's sensor. These are the things, and USB-C, of course. These are the things that would have gotten me to pay. Now, here's the thing, Jeff. I'd pay $2,500. For an iPhone with that stuff. That's how bad I want it.
Yeah, well, keep waiting. As you know, Apple's not going to give you any of that. Maybe the optical telephoto next year, but you're not going to get removable storage, and you're not going to get the headphone jack out. I mean, they took out the SIM card. You know, they take away, they don't add. But let's talk about my biggest disappointment, which is Action Mode. Action Mode is the thing they're selling that will, you know, give you ultra smooth video footage like on a gimbal. Or better than a gimbal per Apple, but it's not there. Go steady, they say. Go steady. And whether you're filming while hiking up a rocky trail or chasing your kids through the park, try Action Mode for smooth handheld videos. Now, let's look at the language there. Okay. If you're chasing your kids through the park, because you can't walk and use Action Mode, you have to run. That's what I discovered. That's part of their language. Whether you're filming while hiking up a rocky trail. When I did Walk and Talk, it was just as jerky as ever. So I was most excited about the phone just for that one feature. And I have never seen Apple come up with a feature that was so not what they said it was.
Yeah, I think, you know, probably computationally they found some scenario in which it is a little steadier, so that helps them. And then, you know, the phrasing was up to twice as stable as previous models. Which models? What's twice up to mean? I mean, it's all gibberish. I mean, again, I just want Apple to be transparent. Tell me exactly, because, you know, if you buy a Sony or a Canon or a Nikon camera, Jeff, you can see exact specifications that tell you pixel counts and everything you'd want to know. Those specifications are hidden on Apple's products, and I don't understand it. Again, they're the most successful company in the world. Everyone loves the iPhone. Just be honest with us and tell us what it is so we can evaluate it. Now, this conversation is aimed at our audience, Jeff, which is, you know, a bunch of serious photographers. And we've seen some incredible photography from that audience over at iPhonePhotoTeam.com. But the average mom and pop, they're not going to care about anything we're talking about.
Right. The average mom and pop says, I got the new phone. Look at what I got. Yeah, I got the new phone. It's great. And is it any different?
They're going to sell a gajillion of them.
200 million.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a kajillion is the actual number.
Uh-huh. The iPhone is the biggest selling consumer device in the world.
Yeah.
They sell more of these than televisions, than computers, than anything. It's 50% of Apple's yearly revenue. Okay? And nothing is slowing it down. It's really amazing when you think about it. With all the troubles, you know, a lot of tech companies have been having, they've seen a downturn, right? And Apple hasn't seen it. You haven't heard about any layoffs there. You haven't heard about supply chain issues. They're cracking.
Yeah, they just built another factory in another country when they had supply chain problems. They got that kind of money and that kind of pull. And it is, you know, I'm sure for most people it's great, but let's go through some of the initial problems. People were talking about the phone freezing. When you do certain things on the camera, it wasn't working. Can't they afford beta testers?
They just did an iOS 16.1 update this morning to fix the freezing problem. I know this because I did the update.
Okay, good. But, you know, you don't want to spend, you know, in my case, I buy them fully loaded with sales tax and AppleCare. It's $2,000. You don't spend $2,000 and have the thing freeze. Somebody should have got that.
Well, every time you've been through this a million times, you know, there's the beta audience and then there's the general audience. And you really don't hear about the problems until the general audience gets in there. It happens every year.
Yeah, it does. Now, what do you think of... They did a lot of talk about colors, and some of their influencers that they hire talked about the new purple and stuff. Do you think anybody really cares about that, Jeff? I mean, you have a lot of experience as a tech author at USA Today for over 30 years. Like, well, do people care about the color?
No, it just looks good in the store because most people I know have a case.
Yeah.
So the color is irrelevant.
Yeah. In fact, I bought I got my 13 Pro. I got rose gold because that was all they had in stock. And I knew I was going to cover it with a black case, so I didn't care. But I heard a lot of talk about that. Now, the question I have is, where does Apple go from here? Because I think that this approach that they've taken where they're just, you know, minimally upgrading this or that is getting a little long in the tooth. And there is a chance that, you know, somebody could come out and actually outperform the camera and outperform the phone, and maybe they wouldn't do so well. Do you think they ever think like that, or do they just assume they got dominance forever?
Scott, I think you're dreaming. So it's a nice wish, but I mean, look at how long it's been. We're 15 years into the iPhone, okay? Yes. 15 years. Where's number two? What camera, you know, who is number two? Samsung Galaxy will sell a 1/20th of what iPhone sales are. Google Pixel could have done it. Google, you know, they've got a lot of money, but they didn't, you know, they didn't push the phone the way they could have. And had they given a real effort, maybe the Pixel could have taken on the iPhone. But it, I mean, if Google sells, I'm sorry, if Apple sells 200 million phones a year, Google would be lucky to sell 2 million.
Well, and Google's tech support is, you know, their motto is, we're not happy until you're not happy. I did actually buy one of the early Google Pixels, and it was really good. The camera blew me away, and it was the cleanest install of Android anywhere in the world. It had no bloatware. Right. It ran pure Android, and it actually worked. The problem is the default setting on that phone was to auto update, and I had no experience with it. So I got on a plane to China one day, and while I was on the plane on the tarmac, it started auto updating. And then we took off, and of course I lost internet connection. And when I landed in Hong Kong, I had a brick. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't upset, because I'm like, you know, I bought the equivalent of Apple Care. So when I got back, I said, hey, the phone bricked. They said, no problem. We'll get you a new one in 3 weeks.
Three weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll just be without a phone for 3 weeks. Sure. Sure. And that's after paying for the highest level of care they had. So, you know, Apple does do some things really well. Apple Care works. If you have a problem and you bought Apple Care, they're going to take care of you in almost every case. Every case for me ever, except one. And that was, they wanted me to send my computer to Best Buy during the pandemic. And I was like, no, I didn't pay for Geek Squad. I paid for Apple Care. But short of that, you know, the systems around Apple work, and we all know the apps and the app integration with our watch and our Apple TV. I mean, that's where they get you, Jeff.
You're in. Let me say one thing about the Pixel. Yeah, about the Pixel. I took the Pixel to Santa Fe last year, in the fall, right before I. No, there's a few months before I saw you in Bosque, and I took the Pixel 6, and I'm taking pictures, and I say, look at the colored leaves, man. The leaves are incredible, the fall leaves. Well, that's because Google was changing the colors in the phone. Yeah. Yeah. They were changing the colors in the phone. What I was seeing with my eye and what I was seeing on the phone were two different things, and I was going all the way through there. Where is the settings to make it realistic? And I couldn't find it. So computational photography gone amok, if you ask me, in the Pixel.
Yeah, well, they have taken a lot further. They were just experimenting with it, and they were basically doing HDR. That was their big thing on the early versions, and they did it well, and that's all I was excited about. But that's my problem with all this stuff. If you use Apple Pro RAW, Jeff, you're not using RAW. You're using Apple's version of RAW, which still has some of their special sauce in it. And most people, frankly, need that. Even some of our audience need that, because they're not nailing their exposures. They're not experienced enough to know how to handle different situations. So they need that. But I like to shoot real RAW, and that's where this thing breaks down for me. I would have much preferred a larger sensor and keep the 12 megapixels. Then again, Apple, if you're listening, I'll pay $2,500 for this phone. I know you want your revenue from iCloud. Well, just build that into getting an extra $500 for every phone that you put the good stuff on. How's that? And make it the extreme edition or whatever, like the new watch. I'd pay it because, you know, I'm a real photographer and I want to shoot real raw. Now, I've looked at all the reviews, and generally, I've broken them up into two categories, Jeff. There's those who, you know, want to continue to get free iPhones forever, so they just say nothing but good things. And there's those who are, you know, more accurate, more real journalists, talk about the problems. Many have said the same thing you said. They can't see some of the differences. What have you seen out there?
Oh, I didn't read all the reviews because, you know, it's sort of like, okay, Apple comes out with a phone. They let certain journalists get it ahead of time, and every one of them says this is the greatest phone ever made. I mean, that's just sort of that's what it feels like. So I try to stay away from some of that stuff. So I didn't read too many of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But our friend Lance Olenoff did a nice piece. I like that one. But it's just because it all comes out on the same day. And then there's the second tier. I was in the second tier, and I rushed to get mine out, and I'm going to come back and do a more in-depth piece. But my opinions haven't really changed that much, except, you know, the action mode is a total disappointment. I can't see the difference between the 14 and the 13. The selfie camera is truly improved and is sharper. It's cool. I love 2X. And the stabilization, even without action mode, is still incredible. I shot stuff on the cable car in San Francisco that was so good. It looked like it was in a professional movie. I was like I was on a dolly. So yeah, it's still great.
Don't forget my tip. Use slow motion when you're using video and stabilization, and then speed it back up, and it'll be even more stable.
Which I did.
Yeah.
On the cable car.
Yeah, I think the general consensus is if you have a 12 or older, this is an upgrade that you probably need to consider. Now, the one thing I've seen everybody say is if you're going to go pro.
Oh, there's definitely.
No, there's no advantage to buying the baseline phones. You know, if you're going to do the upgrade, you've got to get the pro. And if you're interested in all this highfalutin, high-end stuff, you've got to buy the extra storage, Jeff.
Oh, definitely. And that's, I think it's $1,500 or $1,600 for the iPhone 14 Max Pro with 1 terabyte. And, on the earlier models, it's $800 and $900 for the iPhone 14s, which is insane. If you're going to spend $900 for the 14 Plus, which isn't actually even available yet, go for the Pro. Definitely go for the Pro. It's only $100 more.
Yeah.
And you get so much more.
It's for me, it's I can't wait for the 15. I'm hoping that the USB-C thing in Europe causes them to just have to go ahead and commit to doing it in the US. If I get just that plus what they got now, I'll buy one. But for now, I'm sticking with my 13 Pro. I love it. It does a great job. It's paid for. And I can take all that money that I would have spent on the 14, which would have been, for me, $2,000, and do something else with it. So I'm sticking with that. Now, we want to know what you think. If you've got the new phone, do you like it? Leave comments in the show notes area or send us an email, iPhonePhotoshow@gmail.com. Also, we want to shout out to Platypod. Platypod helps make this show happen. And they won Product of the Year at the Birmingham Camera Show yesterday in England. So congratulations to them for that. So we're not the only ones that like Platypod. You can get more information on the iPhone for free over at iPhonePhototeam.com, and Jeff is there, and I try to get in there once in a while. I do want to just, you know, be transparent since I'm demanding it of Apple. I've had a couple of health problems. I'm not going to be as available as I have been, but I try, and Jeff is there, and when Rich can get away, he'll be there. And the community itself, Jeff, has gotten so large and so robust that it doesn't even really matter if we're there, because there's a bunch of people there that can help you.
Yeah, if you want to get inspired and see really great iPhone photos, we're the place. So, yes, you can go on Instagram and watch somebody's stupid movie of them jumping off a cliff into the water. Yes, you can watch funny cats on Facebook and YouTube. You can see great photos on Flickr. But if you want to see just pure, great iPhone photography at its best, I can't think of a place that you would find beyond the iPhonePhotoTeam.com.
All right. Well, the show drops every single Friday, and it is available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Tell your friends, leave us a review, and let us know if you bought the 14. Are you happy? Are you sad? Do you wish you'd have kept your old phone? What did we miss? What didn't we talk about in this episode that you think is a real cool feature? We'd love to hear from you. Jeff, when you're not on this show, where can people find you?
Check me out on my website, jeffersongraham.net. Check out my PhotoWalks TV travel photography series on YouTube, youtube.com/PhotoWalksTV. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Jefferson Graham.
Well, Scott? I am playing around with Vero. I know it's a losing cause, but I'm off Instagram. I'm on Vero.co, V-E-R.co. / Scott Bourne, and that's where I'm going to try to build a community. And there's no ads, there's no reels, there's no algorithm. It's just everybody that follows you sees your stuff. Unlike on Twitter, where I have 200,000 followers, Jeff, and some tiny subset see what my tweets say, unless I pay Twitter hundreds of dollars, which I'm not going to do. So I'm over on Vero, but I am still on Twitter for at least a while. And on Facebook, but I killed my Instagram account in favor of Vero. So you can check me out there, and then we're both available at iPhonePhotoTeam.com.
All right. Till next week.
Take care and enjoy your phone.